Welcome, everybody. Glad to see everyone here today. We have a few. Oh, welcome. We're glad to see everybody here today. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back. So just a reminder, prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to get online on Zoom and join us. And if you don't want to do that, you can call on the phone and still join us. So we'd love to have you. We have the reverse Advent food boxes. And there's a list back there that you can follow. It's just kind of fun. And yet you're giving, and it'll go towards our our food closet upstairs, is that right? Oh, we have five families that we're giving food boxes to this year. So this will help give to the food boxes. Okay. And then the gleaners is on Wednesdays. And be here before 11, because at 11 o'clock the food goes. And if you have any other if you know of somebody that needs help with food, why be sure and contact either Helen or Sherry, and they will meet you here. Next week we have our holiday potluck. I hope everybody plans on staying next Sunday after church. Oh, this is the community one. I'm sorry. I saw the potluck and I got excited. First of all, we have the community one, and it's December 15th at 6 o'clock at night. So that'll be good. I hope people try and come. It's a fun time to have neighbors come and join together. So that's a good thing. So next Sunday is our Christmas potluck. That's the one I was thinking. So it's fun too. We're all going to sit and join in a great meal. And it's our holiday potluck. So we will have turkey and ham and dressing and all the stuffs. So encourage you to stay after church on Sunday next week and join us. That'll be good. That'll be yummy. And I think that's it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today just with excited hearts, Lord, that we have this place that we can come to worship you. I'm just so thankful to be back here, and I just pray for everyone that isn't here, Lord, that they get blessed this week also, because it's such an uplift just to be here and worship and be together. I just pray for those online. Give them a special blessing, Lord. And we just love you. We ask that everything goes right electronically. We ask a special blessing on Teresa as she gives us the message today. And Lord, just we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And I think I missed an announcement. Next Saturday, is it? We're decorating the church. So if you want to come and help decorate, 10 o'clock. We are having a Christmas tree in the back, though, because the little one isn't going to look good up here. So we're going to put it back there. But we are having a Christmas tree. All right. So we have the Advent.
Good Sunday morning, first Sunday of Advent.
Amen.
Today we read about the candle of hope. And we light the candle of hope. Hello, people. Now know me as one of the wise men. But do you know there's nothing special about me or the other wise men? We simply try to be in touch with the right things and the right people. This means listening to God, his promises, and watching out for the signs that he said would occur. This is how we prepared for that Christmas. What about you? How do you prepare for Christmas? Now, some of my friends are preparing for Christmas by going to parties, eating lots, working out how they will deal with family, trying to finish work, planning holidays, and looking for bargains. On the other hand, some of my friends don't like this time of year at all. They don't have many friends. They are missing someone, or they simply want to avoid crowds so keep to themselves. We found it best to prepare for Christmas by listening to God, then looking out for the signs he said would occur and looking forward to the promises he makes. And you know how we found him? We followed what God said would occur when he was born. We followed that bright star because that is what God said would lead us to a new king. As you prepare for Christmas, take some time to follow the light of Jesus, the light that gives you and me hope of a better future. You know, you can easily do this throughout Advent by spending some time every day listening to God and talking to him in prayer. We now light the candle of hope as we remember that the wisdom of God says we can hope because of Jesus.
Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going to sing some hymns. Oh, we got to join in our verse. Our Father's wondrous. That's the songs.
Where's the verse? We don't have a verse.
Okay. We're gonna sing. Okay. And we are singing a cappella. Carolyn is sick, and Rhonda couldn't make it here either. So we're going to sing loud and clear. It's all songs you should know.
Our wonders, wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love, what a mighty God we serve. The raging winds and waves are calm when he says to them, be still. The heavens praise him in a song, and the angels do his will. What a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love, what a mighty God we serve. Our God to save from sin's control gave the Son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise. What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Reigning now above on his throne of love, what a mighty God we serve. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. When seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
How great they are. We all know this one.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains' grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great faith thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout and acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
All right.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life and will love thee in death and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath and say when the lies cold on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
You may be seated.
Great God, we come before you, Lord, as just your servants. Lord, we want to pray a special blessing to be upon the giver, that may his heart and her heart be joyful. We pray, O Lord, that you guide us and protect us. Protect your church here in Gales Creek. Protect your church wherever they are. God, a special blessing be upon each and one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Good morning.
Good morning.
There, I just feel a real special blessing today to share and for you to share your praises. I know that there's someone that said some praises earlier to me today about a certain phone call. So I'm urging someone would say something about this phone call. And you've told me what it's about. Do you want me to share it? Well, our friends and brother and sister in Christ, Dan and Becky Kroom, now have COVID. So that's a prayer concern. All five of them in their home, do not go there. You won't get COVID if you phone call. I'll tell you that right now. Or Facebook. She does a really good job. Becky does a pretty good job on Facebook. So, God bless Dan to call Wink and Phyllis. And Wink and Phyllis both were sharing about the blessing they received from Dan Kroon. Dan, when you talk to Dan, you say, God bless you. He says he already has. He already has. Isn't that right? Those that have talked to Dan and Becky. Well, I just want to praise God that you guys got to talk to him for 30, 40 minutes, and it was such a blessing. God uses us. Reach out, people. Reach out. Reach out. Any other praises? Yes. Judy just shared she had a great time in Texas meeting other family members, extended family members, had a great time. And we are blessed that she made it home safely. She didn't get eaten by a gator or anything in Texas or anything like that. And so I didn't catch that, Linda.
Mosquito.
Mosquito didn't get her. But we want to say praise God that she made it home safe. Yes. Any others? Yes, Josh. Yeah. Yes. Josh shared about how thankful he was over Thanksgiving holidays, about his connected with his family and praising God that he got to have these opportunities to be with his family, food too, but he was really blessed. Yes, Phyllis. They're going to think of something, Phyllis. Phyllis just shared that we're going to do some decorating next Saturday here at the church. And so that's a praise and a prayer concern because we don't want people falling off ladders or anything like that, too. Yes, Gene.
Praise God.
Your father, Gene's father, has had a successful gallbladder surgery. He's survived and he's doing well, and Gene's doing well too. We want to say that. Amen. Yes. That hasn't been decided yet. 10 o'clock. Anyway, I wanted to share that Ivan is not here today. He and his boys were on a weekend vacation over in Central Oregon, and he's on his way home now, so we're praying for safe journeys. Also, Fred and Carolyn are not doing well. They're not here today. They're still under the weather, and that's kind of awful. Okay. Judy shared that little Claire, that's Uncle Bill Skeeter, I call her, Claire has twisted her ankle and has to stay off of it, and that's why Sarah and Claire aren't here today. Also, we want to remember Jim Nichols is in ER today. Was rushed, and he's having his AFib is up again or not working or something. But he, and what, Helen? Don? He's retaining fluid. That's right. Thank you. In his lungs, which is really bad. I better use my modern conveniences here. Bear with me as I go through the many chapters of whatever. Oops, wrong button. Yes, please. Australia. Yes. I've got this place on my phone. I got this part and this part. And so I got to decide, is it this part or that part? I wanted to catch up a little bit, and Debbie was just right. referred to us with Jim Nichols. He is retaining fluid, and his AFib is active again. He is so uncomfortable. And thank you, Debbie, for bringing that to my attention even more. We are a church that pray for each other. We are a church that concerns with each other. When we're hurting, if we don't share with people, no one knows. Let's make it a strong effort of connecting with each other even more. You just heard a praise earlier today with Wink and Phyllis about how the prayer prays with connecting. You heard a praise about Ivan willing to call and say, hey, I need a fill-in, but prayer concerns. We are a praying church. We're a praising church. If there's any other requests or prayer concerns, praise, yes. I'm sorry. Brother-in-law. Teresa shared about her brother-in-law. Keith had passed away very unexpectedly, right? And so, and this leaves a mother with her child dying before her. These are really hard things to face. Tough. Very tough. Shall we go to prayer, please? Great God, you are a God of love, a God of graciousness, Lord. Oh, my heart is heavy right now. I first want to just give you the praise, Lord, that I can come to you, that we as a body can come to you, Lord, that we lift up our needs to you, Lord. With Dan and Becky, Fred and Carolyn, Jim and Vicky, Lori, Cooper, Lord. There's so many others, Lord. Teresa's family, the Kelly family. Father God, my cousin, Kip Quila, who is facing some really health issues, hasn't been able to do very well since September, God. We just want to lift him up in prayer, Lord. Father God, be with Rhonda, Lord, with her dad too, Lord. God, our list are innumerable of praises and prayer concerns, Father God. We wish right now, Lord, that you just touch us, Lord. May our intercessory's prayers, Lord, be changed the course of nature because you have the great gift of that, Lord. You have your hand in it. We want to give you the praise, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This is a time we have really a celebration time where we sing for our kids, and right now, the kids are us. We are the kids of God. Are we kids of God? Are we children of God? Well, we belong to God. Amen? Amen. I see nod heads. I hear amens. And I see a little hand waving. I see a finger waving once in a while like this. Bill, you better watch out. We are kids of God. This little light of mine. Did you practice that one today? We did. Well, let's get ready to sing this little light of mine. Now, I haven't done this in a while, so you're going to have to bear with me for a little. Ready? Got your light ready, shine? Let's go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel.
No!
I'm gonna let it shine.
shine it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan spin out. I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine. Won't let Satan spin out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine around my neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine, 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 shine. Shine around my neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.
That's another song.
Yeah, I like to have fun when I can really joyful. Praise God. I was sharing with Teresa that this week, a young lady that I've been sharing the New Testament to, how to find God. She said, Bill, I've got some real heavy concerns. There's a person attacking me at work saying, I'm foolish to believe in God. I'm foolish to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I shared the scripture that Ivan had shared with us, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 last Sunday, about praising God in all circumstances. Well, I wrote that and I made that a card, and I gave the card to her later, and she said, Bill, that's just what I needed. And I said, no, that's just what I need. We'd like to invite you to come up and share the word of God with us. And as Teresa's coming up, I want us to pray for Teresa. I didn't tell her I was going to do this. I'm going to pray for her as she's coming up. Great God, we want to give you the praise and glory that you've blessed us with Sister Teresa, our pastor, our wonderful leader in you and through you and with you. Father God, bless what's on her heart. May it be your heart that she's sharing. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day. I know it's rainy and kind of cloudy outside, and yet it is still beautiful. It's beautiful because God has given us life, and we are here. We're able to gather together. Amen? So thank you again, those of you who are joining us through our social media. Lord bless you today. And we are celebrating the season of Advent. We had the lighting of our first candle, and we are going to actually be in the book of Matthew today. Now, I know we've been in Luke for, a couple of months now, right? And today we're going to hear Matthew's perspective of how things occurred when the disciples were following Jesus. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to begin with verse 37, and I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation. Matthew 24, starting with verse 37. Now, when the Son of Man returns, this is Jesus speaking, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you, too, must keep watch, Jesus says. For you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Amen to God's word. Fascinating. Jesus again speaking about what's to come. Now you might be thinking, well, that's kind of weird to talk about Jesus' second coming, because we're talking about Advent, his first coming. But they are connected. They are connected because if Christ did not come the first time, there would be no second coming, right? So we're going to take time to look at this passage because it is the first day of Advent. Advent is that season to help us remember what Christ did when he came the first time. And the purpose of his coming. We want to take this time to pause, to reflect on all the things that Jesus did. Why did he come? Why as a baby? And why did he live in Jerusalem? Why was he born in Nazareth and wandered all around the places and then end up ultimately at the cross? We have to look at those things from time to time so that we remember as brothers and sisters in Christ why we live the way we live. Because if we forget those things, then what's it all for? What's it all for? So we pause, we reflect on God's sending of his son and Jesus coming again and how we can appropriately respond to that information. So let us look at what the word of God says. You know, when I think back on that first Advent, that first time that Jesus came, his parents, Mary and Joseph, they had to prepare for his birth, right? They did all the things that it was to get ready to have a child in the midst of the census that they had to travel for. And Jesus gives us that story. God gives us that story in Scripture to remind us that just as Mary and Joseph had to prepare for that baby to come and be added into their life, we also must prepare to have Jesus be in our lives. This is what Advent means, to slow down and to recognize, yes, he's not a baby anymore, but he is a Savior, risen, and wants to be in our lives. So we have to prepare. And not only preparing by living with him daily, but anticipating when he's going to return again. I think sometimes for us, we get lost because we're busy with our lives and we forget. Don't get caught up in your busyness because Christ is coming again. So we must be ready. And being ready, or the state of readiness, is reflected in how we live our daily lives. So, before we complete that thought about readiness, let's start with the backstory of the purpose of the book of Matthew. Now, scholars say Matthew wrote his account at a time when many believers were growing fatigued. Some began to doubt their faith. You know, they're getting further and further away from Jesus' ascension. And so they keep asking themselves, okay, well, when is he coming back? I thought he said he'd be back by now. Look at all the things that are happening around us. Plus, people are not really nice to us. So they're being persecuted. And so Matthew writes it all down. He's been recording all along, but now he begins to share the story that he's been recording. And he says to the people, don't forget. Jesus really is faithful. He is going to return. So he shares this in his writings. Don't forget, I know life is hard, but Jesus is coming back. So now, fast forward to today's passage, because if you read Matthew, you realize he tells the whole story of Jesus from his beginnings, his parents, all the way up the day at the temple, all the way through his miracles. But now when we get to this passage in 24, chapter 24, Matthew includes Jesus' warning to the listener to be about God's business, because the day of his return will come unannounced. Remember we had that sermon about unexpected guests? When you entertain people you weren't expecting to? Guess what? Jesus' return is going to be unannounced. And so we're going to be surprised. But will we really be surprised? Because those of us who are waiting, we may not know the day or the hour, but we are expecting his return. So this instance of Jesus preparing his disciples in chapter 24 for his return is a little different from what's recorded in Luke, because Luke, you know, likewise has been recording as well. And we talked about his return and his disciples' response a couple weeks ago. Remember, we learned that we don't need to fear the future despite the bleakness. Because, I mean, what Jesus shared with the disciples, remember our passage in Luke? That was kind of depressing, right? Those were heavy things that he tells them what's going to take place before he returns. And so he cited a few signs of the time to demark his return. So let me remind you, refresh our memories. What did he tell them? He told them about false prophets coming. Oh, now I'm the Messiah. I will teach you in how to get back to God. He's like, yeah, don't believe them. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. They're not going to get you there. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We've all experienced those. Natural disasters like famines, earthquakes. And then he says, not only are those things going to happen, but persecution of my beloved believers. And so I can only imagine as a disciple standing there listening to him going, wait, what? People are going to persecute me because I believe in you, because I'm following you? I don't know about that. I didn't sign up for that part. I signed up for the heaven part and you coming down and striking down the enemies and we win. That's what I signed up for. But Jesus says, that is going to happen. You will be victorious, but not like that. You actually have to, some of you are going to actually give up your very lives for believing in me. And then on top of that, he talks about plagues. Plagues? Well, wasn't that what happened with Moses when he was guiding the people out of Egypt? Yep. But there's more than that. There's more than that. And it's not centered around a group of people needing to be let go. It's happening everywhere all around the world. So he tells them of the future destruction of the temple. The disciples ask, because they're getting nervous, well, when is all this stuff going to come to pass? And how are we going to know how so we can get ready? And Jesus reassured them, don't be afraid. Just stay faithful. Stay with me. Follow my teachings so that when I return, you won't need to be ashamed. Stay with me. And so Jesus' words are again recorded in Matthew. And the writer notes that Jesus explains himself a bit more. So now when Matthew tells the story, he says, yeah, but when he gave his further explanation, it was actually only the 12. It was the smaller group of disciples that he shares the explanation with. And so he confides to his 12 disciples, there's two lessons that really need to be learned. When I told you all those things that are going to come to pass, here's the two things that you need to walk away with. Well, what's that, Jesus? Be alert and be ready. Wait, what? Okay, well, we're trying to work on the alertness thing because that's why we're asking you, when is all this going to happen? When, what signs should we be looking for? Because only God knows the day and the hour that Jesus will return, Jesus warns against preoccupying our time with frivolous things and to instead be alert and be ready. Now someone says, I don't participate in frivolous things. Really? Thank you, Sister Linda. Sure you do. Sure you do. So being alert simply means to watch the signs of the time. We know because we can look back in history and pinpoint the day the temple fell. Remember, when did the temple fall? In 70 AD. We know when it happened. So that prediction came true. But we've been experiencing, even before Christ said those things, and definitely after, all of us as human beings collectively have experienced famine. How many famines have you, can you remember? I remember growing up as a kid, they would list out the famines that were happening throughout Asia, throughout Africa, right? So we know that famine has taken place. There have been hurricanes. I grew up, so I'm originally from New Jersey, and there's hurricanes on the East Coast that don't necessarily happen over here. I don't know why. Is it the warmth of the water? I don't know why that is, but anyway, hurricanes. Tornadoes, thank the Lord, I have not been one of those. No thank you, passing on that. But there have been tsunamis, lots of earthquakes. And here in the Pacific Northwest, California, forest fires. Those fires spread so quickly and devastate so much land, right? It's sad to me when I watch the news and you see all those families that have lost their homes and they're all just standing there stupefied like, okay, wow, I'm really going to have to rebuild. Like everything they own is gone except for the clothes they have on their backs. Like, really? Yeah, forest fires. And then there's pestilence and plagues. Now, you may say, yeah, but we've not had frogs and flies and we didn't have to worry about our water turning into red colors and looking like blood. That's not been our issue. No, but we've had other plagues. So let me remind you, anyone heard of bubonic plague, cholera, smallpox? And guess what? This one is still strong and alive, influenza, also known as the flu. The flu kills a lot of people, y'all, every season. It's fascinating to me because we think now that we have modern medications, like this shouldn't even be a problem. Yeah, that's still a problem. We still can't solve all the things. Yes. And COVID. RSV for the poor babies. I mean, like all of these things, they're here. So what do we do with that as Christians? We go, oof. That's a lot of things happening right now. Lots of wars been going on. And rumors of war. People still talking about, get off my land. We want this. You know, it's like, really? Why are we still doing those things? Isn't it 2022? Soon to be 2023? Oof. Time is flying. What does that mean for us as Christians? Do we get caught up in hating, Sister Donna, because Jesus is coming and we should all go to this mountain and just sit there and wait. Open, 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 open. We're just waiting for the clouds to open, open, open. And he's going to come down. I don't think drink that Kool-Aid. No, that's not what he's wanting us to do. But we should be alert. We should be saying to ourselves, oh, wow, Jesus, okay. Asking ourselves questions. All right, what do you want me to do? How do I encourage? I want to be like Josh, Lord. How do I get out there and help people who need help? Feeding people who are hungry, telling them about Jesus, just showing and shining my light. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That means being alert, being aware of our situation. Just simply that. So verses 37 through 9 demonstrate alertness or the lack thereof. Because listen to what it says again. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like in Noah's day, the sign of Noah. This is why I entitled this sermon, sign of Noah. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings up until the time Noah entered his boat. He gave them warnings, people, but they didn't listen. They didn't believe. Instead, they mocked him. And Jesus says this in verse 39. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That's devastating, because they actually knew that the flood was coming. But they didn't pay attention to the signs. They didn't listen to the man of God. They just kept on with their daily lives. And said, no big deal. We'll be fine. Really, we will. If there is a flood, well, we have a couple of boats, and we can do these other things to rescue our friends. But it wasn't so. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't be like them. Don't be so caught up in your everyday life that you forget that this world, you're not supposed to stay here. You are merely passing through. So sometimes, Sister Linda, because you laughed earlier, you're like, oh, but we do. We get so easily caught up going to work, paying our bills, making sure the kids got the shoes that they need because they grow it every 5 minutes. It's like, I just bought those shoes. Why are you outgrowing them already? And making the meals. For those who cook, you're like, why am I always in the kitchen? It seems like I just cooked. Yep. And guess what? People are going to still come and eat. So you got to go back to the kitchen, right? We can get caught up in our daily living and forget the fact and Jesus Christ is coming back, and he expects you to be ready. But the people in Noah's day didn't heed the man of God. They mocked him instead and carried on with their lives. Kind of reminds me of the people who say that, oh, someday I'll start going to church. I know that one church down the street, that Gales Creek Church. It's a cute little building. They actually have a bell. So cute. One day I'll go. One day, I'll get myself together and I'll start going to church. One day. Sad, because they put off a relationship with God for tomorrow. And sometimes that tomorrow just never comes. Now, keep in mind though, Jesus didn't only preach to the lost, but to those who already knew God. Remember? He was hanging out with Jewish folks. So they should know scripture and they should know who God is. They should have a personal relationship with God. But so many did not. So even the children of God can get distracted with the many things of this world and with the minutiae of life. So beware, lest our busyness at church events blinds us from the real things that we should be doing. I love the idea that we're gathering on Saturday to decorate. It's a great thing. But if all your time is here in this building and worrying about all the things about Gales Creek, and you're not actually out in the community and shining your light and being loving and kind to your neighbor, we've put it in reverse. And God is like, no. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Fix up the building? Yes. Make it beautiful? Yes. And don't forget to be kind to your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? I mean, really, I live out here, so I don't really have any neighbors. Nobody close by. Okay, you can make all the excuses you want. But you do go to the store. You're standing in line. That person who's a complete stranger, they're your neighbor. That post person who comes and drops off your mail, that Amazon person, delivery person, they're your neighbors. Reminds me of the song. These are the people in your neighborhood. Okay, Sesame Street. Holla. Those are the people in your neighborhood. Those are your neighbors. Those are the people God expects you to be reaching out and showing his love and kindness. Yeah, you don't necessarily know their name, but you can get to know them. Hi. Thank you so much for delivering my package. I really appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day.
Small things you can do
to let your light shine. But if you're always busy decorating and cooking and cleaning and doing all those other things, you might forget you're just passing through this place. And Jesus Christ is going to return. And he wants you to be ready, doing what he has called you to actually do, which is being, not so much the doing, being like God the Father, being like Jesus Christ himself, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you to change your heart for God's glory. So Jesus is warning us to beware. And while we don't live every moment gazing into the clouds, we certainly recognize that we're a long ways post Jesus' ascension. And the longer we are, the further distance we gain after his resurrection, that means the closer we are to his return. Isn't that something? We're so close, and we may not even recognize it. So the question is, are you ready? How are you preparing for Christ's second return? Are you busying yourself with buying up all the, like they said in the Advent reading, busying yourselves with those parties? Busying yourselves with trying to find the greatest discount on Black Friday? And now that has moved to Black Monday and Cyber Monday and all the other things because we're trying to get a deal? Don't let that take place and preference over who God is in your life and actually being who he's called you to be. So the verses that focus on the being ready is verse 40 through 44. Listen to what he says. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Just like that. Gone. Just like that. People doing their thing. Jesus comes, that's it. Fascinating. And so Jesus says, you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And he gives a great example. He says, look at here, people. If the homeowner knew the thief was on their way, don't you think they'd be prepared? Don't you think? They'd have all the lights on, and now modern day, cameras ready so we can record you walking up that driveway with your black hoodie on so you can, you know, try to hide, but we see you coming clearly. And then I've got the popo in the backyard waiting. Right? That's what would happen if we got an announcement from the robbers. Debbie Delamater, I shall be robbing your house Friday, 6 p.m. Okay, come on. I'll have the cops waiting for you. They'll greet you and they'll welcome you with some handcuffs. Okay, right? So Jesus says, but guess what? Thieves don't give you an invitation. They don't announce, hey, I'm coming by. No, it just happens when you're not even expecting it. You've gone on to that fancy dinner with your friends because you were hanging out because it's Christmas time. There's a lot of parties to go to. You all dressed up, kicking it with your friends. And guess what? Meantime, your house is getting broken into. Why? Because thieves don't make announcements. And Jesus says, I'm not a thief. Oh, no. I am not a thief. But let me tell you something. I am going to come like the thief. You're not going to know what day and time it is. Because, and by the way, I don't even know the day and time. The angels don't even know the day and time. Only the Father himself knows. So guess what? It's going to be a surprise to me. But I'm ready. Because when my Father says, son, it's time to go and get my people, he's going to bust through those clouds and he's ready to go. So our job is to be ready to go with him when he comes. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. I know sometimes we think, like I was surprised by my brother-in-law being passing away, right? That was unexpected. But there are times in our lives when we can reasonably expect death will come for us. When we're aged, like my mother, she was 81, and your health begins to fail, you see those signs, right? And you go, okay. And people want to come around you and make sure, okay, Sister Phyllis, now, I know you went to Gales Creek all these years, but are you really ready to go and meet your Savior? You know, people want to come to you at the last minute and do that. That's fine. But what about the rest of us who are in good health? I'm going to get back in my car, go home, and tomorrow, as Debbie pointed out, tomorrow is Monday, and we have to return to work. But whatever. Yes, I'll be there. I have to do that. But am I ready? If the Lord comes before Monday morning and I don't get to report to work, I need to be ready right here, right now. So I implore you, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, be ready. And that isn't simply, yes, I have received Jesus as my personal Savior, but be who He has called you to be. Because once you are being like Jesus, you will then do like Jesus. It's hard to love your enemies when you don't have God in your heart, when you are not living in His image. It's hard to love those people. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to have compassion. It's hard to be kind. But when you have God in your heart, when you are imitating Christ, all of the actions will line up. So if you've been struggling lately with kindness for that one family member who's really irritating you, pray about it. Say, God, I don't know why my cousin is acting out, but help me, Lord, to love him. Help me to be gracious. Show me that one way to be kind. What is it, Lord? That's how we get ready. So it doesn't matter if you're 85, 95, 100. 101 is one of my old parishioners at Maranatha. Lived to be 101. Had his home going a few weeks ago. You might be 101. You might be like my brother-in-law, barely 60. It doesn't matter. Once you know who God is, you need to be ready. Let's do this. Let's step in it wholeheartedly and love God and let Him love others through us. So Jesus warned His disciples to practice readiness. And you may hear from time to time public announcements on disaster preparedness. You know how Red Cross will... and other community-based organizations, they create checklists for you how to prepare in case of a tornado, in the case of an earthquake. You should have a plan of escape and how you're going to meet your family, your loved ones, post the disaster. Now, if we can do all of that to prepare for those things, shouldn't we prepare for the second coming of Christ? Shouldn't we do that? We can be ready by daily living out the precepts that Jesus taught. You know, He spent a lot of time teaching His disciples of how to be like God, how to live like they actually know who God is. So remember just a couple of things. He taught them the Sermon on the Mount. We call it the Beatitudes. These are the blessings that you will receive if you are like this. And He reminded them that God expects them to love others as they love themselves. Remember, those are the commandments. Love God, love others, and seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Everything you do, how does this glorify God? How can I glorify God in this? Simple things, but quite challenging in the world in which we live. So as we close, I want to invite you to consider how you are preparing so you will be ready when Christ returns. Now, you may die before Christ returns. You still need to be ready. You may be living when he rides those clouds. You still have to be ready. We're not looking for a baby in swaddling clothes anymore, but a man who will return with all power in his hands, riding the clouds for all of humanity and creation to see. So let's be alert, watching the signs of the time, showing others the way, and let's be ready for Christ's return and for our forever home with God. Pray with me. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your holy word that reminds us to pause, to reflect, to think about how you sent Jesus Christ, your son, the very first time, how he lived among us, showing us the way. We ask, dear God, right here, right now, that you would give us your spirit anew, to put fire in our hearts, so that we can make a list of how we know we are prepared to meet our Maker. Because of the things that we're not doing for others to have them praise us, but how we're being just like you, loving and kind and forgiving and wanting to be in relationship with the human beings around us, wanting reconciliation for those broken relationships, however they may be. Help us, Lord God. And we thank you because we want to hear those words. Welcome, my good and faithful servant, when all this is said and done. We pray this for your glory. Amen. Right. We have a closing song and then we'll come for our benediction.
This is a fun song to sing. Are we ready? Glory, glory, glory. You can stand.
Glory, 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 glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah, I am saved, and I'm so glad I am. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah, I am saved, and I'm so glad I am.
That is a good song. Yes. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to the Lamb. As we depart from this place, I want to remind you, my dear siblings in Christ, that you do not go alone. It may seem like it sometimes, and it may seem hard when life comes at us, but God is with you. So go, be salt, be light, encourage the people around you that all is not lost, because our God reigns, and he cares about us, and he loves us. Go in God's grace, go in his peace, until we meet again. Lord be with you.
Amen.